Welcome back to Money Talk with Melanie. I'm your host, Melanie Collette, and this is Money Talk with Melanie. Our next guest name is Craig Huey. I'm very excited to have him on the show this evening. He is a political and economic commentator and much, much more. And we're going to talk to him about some shocking ways that they are spending your tax money in D.C. I'm very excited to have him on the show. Without further ado, it's Craig Huey. How are you?
Melanie, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And I did not do your introduction any justice. So before we even go any further, I'd love for you to tell the audience a bit about your background.
Well, you know, for over 30 years, I've been a small business owner. I've created thousands of jobs. I have been able to help turn many people into multimillionaires with the marketing and advertising agency that I have. And one of the things I've been doing for the last 10 to 15 years is warning people about what is going on in their state and in their national governments. And I have a newsletter that's one of the largest in America, talking about economic and political issues. And I've written a couple books, two marketing books, one on integrated multi-channel marketing, which gives all the latest strategies and tactics, and then a book on the deep state, talking about the bureaucracy, and one called The Christian Voter.
Excellent. Excellent. I love that. And I was looking at a couple of your most recent articles, and I thought I talked to the audience about this because I thought it was so important. Things are, listen, I of course did not, the audience knows it's no secret that I'm very right-leaning, that I voted for Trump, did not vote for Biden, and I was very worried about President Biden getting elected. And I have to say, I did not think he was going to do a good job, but he has far surpassed anything that I thought that he would do, as far as how terrible he is as a president and how bad that things are. And I was looking at one of your most recent blog posts. It talks about the ways that D.C. is spending our money, and I thought that our audience would really want to know about the things that you talked about, because it really is shocking the way the money is being spent politically, the way it's being used to divide us, particularly racially and culturally. I just thought it was shocking, and that, you know, they hear it from me all the time, but I thought they should hear it from someone else.
Well, you know, Melanie, it is shocking. It is very, very disturbing, because if anyone listening is paying taxes and they don't recognize how their tax money is being used to advance political ideology, radical politics, radical left-wing pro-socialist concepts that are being funded in the federal government. And you can see in smaller areas in different ways, depending upon the state you live in, and certainly among school boards and some of the school districts. Let's just take the federal government. So with the federal government, you basically have a bureaucracy of people who are getting money that's unaccountable, money that can't be traced back. What they do on their job, very few people know. And you're talking about the upper echelon coming in at Biden's request. So what President Biden did is he went back to his resources that he learned with President Obama. President Obama was the first president, Melanie, to, instead of looking for the best bureaucrat to run a different agency, he put in people who were ideologues. The average age of the bureaucrats dropped from in the 40s and 50s down to the 20s and 30s. People fresh out of college, people who were political activists, people who wanted to mobilize and use the government to transform our culture and politics, to take our economics and our business system and turn it more into a government control and for individual freedom, more coercion and, over the lives of the individual. And what Biden did, Trump tried to stop it. Trump tried to drain the swamp, and this bureaucracy fought back against him. Biden, before he left office, Obama, before he left office, had made it impossible to fire many of these bureaucrats. So he was stuck with them, and they were the resistance, and they wouldn't carry out the orders. They sabotaged what he did. They leaked things to the press. It was a nightmare for Trump.
Now, how were they able to do that? Was that through having them be in a union, or
no?
Like, how were they? How was he not able to fire these people?
Okay, so there is an organization within the bureaucracy that hires and fires, and this was all pointed by President Obama, and then a law was changed that said this organization within the bureaucracy can only hire and fire. And so the president is basically relying upon this organization that Obama set up within the federal bureaucracy to do the hiring and firing. So when Biden comes in, he basically, in the Department of Justice, puts in lawyers that are political activists. In the Department of Transportation, he puts in people who aren't experts in transportation. They may never have dealt with transportation in their lives, but they're running the bureaucracy. And every one of these have their agenda. Transportation is to transform America by getting rid of natural gas and oil and promoting a green agenda. And you see this with the Interior Department. You see this with all the different bureaucracies. And so you have an army of people who are looking not to do legislation, but to actually make the bureaucracy into a legislative body where they put in new regulations and new controls. But it's not even that. Much of it is a transfer of money, taxpayers' money, to organizations. So you've got the first thing where your tax money is spent by regulatory government agencies pushing a political agenda. There's ads out there, digital ads, that basically are showing to the millennials and to people in their 20s promotion of the Build Back Better program, promotion of the infrastructure bill. And this is done by the Department of Transportation. And it's really having political consequences.
Wait a minute. How are they promoting? How can you promote a bill that is that's a completely political ad? How can you promote a bill that hasn't passed yet? That's a political ad.
It is. It's a total political ad, but it's because they can't. Nobody's holding them accountable. Nobody's trying to put them into certain boundaries. They do what they want, and so they see the next 4 years is the most important transformation of America, maybe in history. And they're the ones that have this ideology, which is their religion. And basically, there's really no right or wrong other than being able to transform our culture and politics. And so, if you've ever seen a political zealot, that's the radical left. They have all the truth. Everybody else is wrong. And that's what you have in the bureaucracy today. Melanie, even this is going to make you even more sick. And I think your listeners are going to be shocked to know that much of the money that's being spent by the federal government is being spent on nonprofit groups that are really political groups. If you do a search for community health centers, they're one of the most politicized groups in America today. They have an army of lobbying for socialized medicine and other political issues from climate change, you name it. And they register people to vote, and they keep in touch with these people on the local level and bring them out to the polls. It's completely political, and the federal government, in the last stimulus bill that Biden had, funded these with millions and millions of dollars of your money. And so there's these nonprofit groups that are reaching out to those who have crossed the border illegally. Nonprofit groups that are reaching out to minorities in order to mobilize, activate them for political purposes. And that's your tax money at work right now.
That is crazy. That's absolutely crazy. And, it would seem like even what we're dealing with the border and what you're talking about with these community health centers and other organizations, that the government is breaking the law left and right, and no one is holding them accountable. I'm trying to figure out why, for example, the right is not holding the left accountable. I am certain. I'm not naive. Like, even though I am definitely a card-carrying Republican, I'm certain that Republicans are probably doing this as well, and that it needs to stop. But why is it that when one side of the aisle sees the other side of the aisle doing that they don't sue? Like, it seems to me they should be able to sue and win.
You would think so. Well, let's just take the example that we're seeing play out right now in Virginia. So Virginia, you have the bureaucrats within the school system, the school board members, which are basically puppets of the school union. We see the principals, and we see all the school establishments that are basically left-wing ideologues who are very happy to have critical race theory, a Marxist racism that separates people and divides people. They're using the tax money in that school to go to consultants and organizations to bring that into the classroom.
We definitely need to talk about that. I hate to cut you off. We're up against the hard break. We will revisit that topic on the other side of the break. We are talking to Craig Huey about how your tax dollars are being spent. You're listening to Money Talk with Melanie. I'm your host, Melanie Collette. We'll be right back.
This is important because it's your money.
Your money.
Money Talk with Melanie.
Money Talk with Melanie.
On 98.7 The Coast.
And we're back. You're listening to Money Talk with Melanie. We are on with Craig Huey, and we're talking about the shocking ways that the government is spending your money. And before the break, we touched on how critical race theory is one of the things on which the government spends your money. Specifically, it's actually not only in schools, it's in a lot of places. Can you kind of continue on with what you were talking about critical race theory?
I'd be glad to. And Melanie, you're right. I mean, in the federal bureaucracy, in every division, from the obscure rate agencies all the way to the larger, better known ones like the Department of Treasury, critical race theory is paying consultants and experts on how to bring that into the bureaucracy right now, your tax money at work. And what I was saying is about how in Virginia, critical race theory and masking were two of the biggest issues basically on the ballot when the new governor was running. And in an upset election, he won because these parents, local women and men who never were before involved in politics, stood up and said, enough is enough. We're not going to take it any longer. And they were out there demanding change and getting people to the poll and transform that election to a victory for a Republican that should have lost. And that was such an amazing thing. So the new governor, he fulfills his promise and says, we're not going to have indoctrination and propaganda to the students. And that was one of his executive orders first day. Then he also said schools cannot force children to wear a mask. It's got to be voluntary and their choice. Parental choice was his number one issue. He wins. He makes the executive order. That's the law of Virginia. And then school districts that are filled with ideologues on the left, then they disobeyed the executive order. They disobeyed a government command. So now the attorney general is having to file suit. New York, you know, the Supreme Court says you can't force the masking. And then all of a sudden, you know, the school districts do it anyway. So this is something that is a spirit of rebellion within these ideologues, where they're so right that they're above the law and they can get this thing done. It's a very sad mentality. But, you know, I look at it as a business owner. I look at it as a dad. I look at it as a concerned citizen. This has got to stop. And the only way to stop it is coming up in 2022 with the election in November, that if people do what they did in Virginia throughout the United States, then we can have a Congress, Senate, and House that does investigations on these things. And we obviously have to have heroes in Congress, heroes in the Senate, to be able to say, we've got to stop this. We've got to expose this. Now, there's not much they can do for the next 4 years. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars of our money going for political causes within the government, and millions and millions of dollars going to groups that are going to fight to have this bureaucracy continue in the next presidential election. So it's a nightmare scenario, but it can be turned around. I'm confident it can, and the starting point is the November election.
That is the starting point. One of the starting points is certainly the election, but I think the government overall needs an overhaul. One of the things that I do, one of the hats that I wear is as a freelance writer, and I was asked, I wrote an article for The Horn News. It's a website, and they asked me to write an article on regulations, on regulatory agencies and all the regulations that get written in association with laws. And for the audience's sake, many of you may or may not know this, but when the government passes a law, they have these regulators that write all the regulations in regard to the laws. So, like, it isn't just, like, a lot of times you'll hear on the news, okay, the government, you know, the feds just passed this federal law, and you're thinking, okay, there's just this, like, one law on this piece of paper, and that's it. It's just, like, one sentence. No, that's not how it works. There are these regulators that write all these regulations that go with the law. And one of the things that I was assigned to do when I wrote this article was to research how many regulations there are. Do you know that there's so many regulations that the government literally does not know? There was no answer to that question, because they write 8,000 regulations a year.
Yes.
That's how ridiculous it is. So I think that, like, with the advent of computers, I'm sure at this point they're computerized. They have to be.
They are.
Right. So you would think that when they create conflicting, because what happens is nowadays that they, you know, they'll pass a new law and some of the regulations will conflict with other regulations and they end up going to court to battle them out. It would seem to me they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Like, they should. If you make a law that conflicts with another law, you shouldn't be able to do that. Like, somebody should be able to check and say, okay, we can't do that because that conflicts with another law. But that's not the way it works. Insane.
It is insane. And this is part of a broken system. Whenever you have bureaucracy does a couple of things. One, bureaucracy protects itself from discovery. They want to be in their own fiefdom, nobody really knowing what they're doing. And that's been bureaucracy since the beginning of time. The second thing they want is more money. They've always got to figure out how to justify their existence to get more money. And now, sadly, the third thing has happened only recently, and that is that bureaucracy becomes ideology is driving their decisions. We are, with the bloated bureaucracy we have on the local, you know, local, state, and national level, there's got to be this draining of the swamp, this cleaning of house, stopping this. You know, for the amount of jobs, the amount of regulatory issues that are killing these jobs, killing people's ability to make a living, and companies being able to pay better salaries, comes back to so many of these regulations you're talking about, Melanie, that are an obstacle to growth, obstacle to business. It creates frivolous lawsuits. It creates court cases. Business people are blindsided all the time. Sales tax counterdictions, federal regulation counterdictions, they're all faced with it, and it's almost impossible to navigate. But it's putting a stranglehold on the economy, and it's hurting us all. So what the framers of the Constitution envisioned a small federal government, and that smaller federal government does the essentials, national defense, a judicial system, to be able to make sure that the states are protecting people based upon the Bill of Rights. And then the state governments are going to be smaller, not involved in so much bureaucracy. And the same thing with the local governments. But today, it's just the opposite. Everything is growing bigger. Nobody's trying to stop it. The latest job growth figures, if you look at the latest job growth figures, a huge amount were in the public sector or the semi-public sector. What's growing is government, not so much new jobs. And this type of thing can only stop when the people say enough is enough.
And now, you know, I find it surprising that they're able to do it so much on the local and state level, because the local and state levels tend to have to balance their budget, where the federal government does not have to balance their budget, which is stunning. Full disclosure, my master's degree happens to be in public administration, and one of the things that I found to be most surprising is that when I took my budgeting classes, is that my budget did not have to be balanced. And not only did it not have to be balanced, but we budgeted with a deficit, which I was like, yeah. Wait, what? What do you mean? Yeah. And then as we made adjustments with our budget, we adjusted the deficits. And I was like, we're making budgets with imaginary money. Like, this does not make any sense. And no wonder the government thinks that you can do that.
Yeah, it's such a nightmare. You know, your listeners can do something fun in their own local cities. Find out how much the city manager is making. Find out how much the superintendent of public education.
Yep, I already know off the top of my head how much they make. And if they found out, they'd be stunned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know how much they make.
You know, most people would say, "Oh, it's maybe $80,000, maybe it's $110,000, maybe it's $100,000." No,
it isn't.
And the same thing with, if you take a look at a city, how big was its budget, and how many bureaucrats did they have 10 years ago? How many do they have today?
And I'm trying to figure out how. Also, because they need to be, or at least they're supposed to be, because it's public money, they're supposed to be transparent about what they're spending money on. How are they fitting these $10,000 consultants into their budget, and people don't have a problem with that?
It's all hidden. They don't want people to see it. It's all hidden. In Virginia, the parents of these kids that were so upset started tearing apart where the payments were going to. And then all of a sudden it uncovered a nightmare where these payments were going to political activists. They were going to companies that were trying to indoctrinate the kids. It would never be seen or heard if they had not gone to see where are these checks going to, because they can hide it. It's easy to hide it. And who, you know, you're living your life. You know, if you're retired, you're retired. If you're working, you're working. If you're a business owner, you're doing your business. You're not going to the city. You're not going to the school board. You're not going to the county. You're not going to the state and trying to unravel these issues. It took people who were volunteers to say, we've got to get to the bottom of this. And what they uncovered was so powerfully horrific that when it was disclosed to the other people who could care less about politics, who could care less about what was going on, when they discovered what was going on, it was an uproar, an uprising, and a brand new change of administration to basically drain the swamp.
And not for nothing, people are usually not paying attention, particularly on the local level. I mean, how you discover these things is you have to participate in your government. You have to go to the meetings. Mm-hmm. You have to read the agendas and see what things are being passed. You have to ask questions of the people who are running your government and ask them what the money is being used for. And a lot of people simply do not do that. I mean, they'll put it on the agenda, but you have to understand what it is that you're reading. And a lot of people don't participate in their government on that level. So how would they know?
It's very, very hard. And usually, you know, it takes a support group of people. Sometimes people have certain talents to be able to help discover this. For example, I was on my school board's oversight committee. And what we saw was disgusting, because the school board basically showed how they were trying to hide things, not only from us, but from the taxpayers and the parents and everybody else, because they wanted to do what the educational establishment wanted them to do. And transparency to a bureaucrat is the worst thing in the world. Asking questions why this is happening is something they don't want to do. They want to be able to do what they want to do without accountability. And that's where people have to say, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to take a look at what really is happening. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to expose this. And we're going to stop this corruption.
We need to totally and completely stop this kind of corruption. And it doesn't. I think it's going on more now. I hate to sound biased, but I feel like it's going on more now in the Biden administration than it went on in the Trump administration. Because one of the things about politics is, and one of the great things about President Trump, is that he didn't owe anybody anything. Financially, or otherwise, or politically. And so when you have a politician who doesn't owe anyone financially or politically, then there's nothing to be paid back. And you're totally free to govern properly.
Yes. You nailed it. Whether you like Trump, neutral, dislike some of what he did, but loved his policies, whatever your position was, if he's your favorite candidate, the one thing about him, he did things no other politician would do. He said things no other politician would do, and he got things done no other politician could, because he was an outsider. He wasn't beholden to the bureaucracy, to the lobbyists, to all that. And that's refreshing. And that's why, you know, Ronald Reagan once said, it's the citizens who have to rise up, don't depend and rely upon the politicians. It's the citizens who are going to make the change, and that's every listener. They're responsible for taking a look at whether it's the local city, the county, the state, or the national. We're all responsible for making a change because it has gone too far. It's bringing America down. It is where we've been today. You take a look back even in a couple of years. What a mess. We have three more years of President Biden. If you can imagine what's going to happen in those 3 years, because he's got a politicized bureaucracy that is basically trying to transform our culture and our economy and our politics.
I would say with President Biden, it's deeper than that, because I think that President Biden owes more people than just the United States. I think he owes China. I think he owes, you know what I mean?
Many sources. And so, people have all kinds of different personal self-interest. I mean, really, you take a look at Dr. Fauci. How could a bureaucrat have millions of dollars on his, even in his bloated salary? There's no way he could have accumulated those millions of dollars. I'm always amazed when a judge or a senator or a congressman come in with almost nothing to their office, and they leave with millions of dollars where they've got 5, 10, 15, 20 million. I mean, a business owner struggles to get that. Individuals struggle to get a few million, a couple million, a million.
Right.
Come up with multi-millions.
On $150,000 a year salary. Like, their financial advisor must be a freaking genius.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I knew their broker.
Like, that's ridiculous. But how can even Dr. Fauci, I mean, I could do a whole show on Dr. Fauci. How can he be as close to the Wuhan accident lab leak, which I truly believe it was a lab leak? How can Dr. Fauci be as close, as deeply entwined with what happened in that Wuhan lab, and also be the guy who's in charge of mitigating the damage? Like, to me, he should be completely conflicted out. But that's how messed up our government is.
Exactly. But you know what? What's good about this illustration with Dr. Fauci, it's starting to crumble. The truth is starting to be revealed. People are starting to ask questions, but it's taken a long time. He's done a lot of damage. But eventually, what he's done and what has transpired is going to come out. And people are beginning to understand it. But they've got to understand what's going on today in Washington, D.C. is not right. It's got to change. And if it doesn't, it could be the end of America.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anywhere where people can follow you on social media or anything like that?
Absolutely. They can go to Craig Huey, CraigHuey.com. Get my free newsletter, and I cover topics like this.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Money Talk with Melanie. We'll be right back.